Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
No ocean, no valley, no mountain too high, no power.
Good morning, 735 on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, and thank you for being here. I'm here weekday morning, 6 till 8. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate your support of the Faith Radio Network. Find us anytime at myfaithradio.com. That's our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. One thing we've got posted there that I need to draw your attention to right now is actually a great piece written by John and Kendra Smiley, popular speakers, international parenting mentors. They join us now to talk about their very latest piece entitled, "I Can't Hear You When You're Yelling." What do we do with families that have yelling going on? John and Kendra, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Where do we start on this issue of yelling? Not only the kids yelling, but moms and dads of teenagers yelling at the kids. Where do we begin that conversation?
Well, it's interesting. I guess I want to begin with a kind of a goofy family story. We live on a farm, and our kids are raised on a farm, and you know, you can be loud. All of you can be loud, even when you're having fun, or, you know, not necessarily because you're angry about anything. And so our kids grew up, and our oldest son was raising his family, he and his wife, and I heard him one time say, they, of course, raise their kids now in town, and I heard him one time say to his oldest child, "No, honey, here you need to use your outside voice." And I realized that they were louder inside than when they went outside. Where there were neighbors, they had learned to talk a little more softly. But that's not typically the way it goes. What we want to talk about today really isn't the voice volume of the kids, but the fact that there are a lot of parents that are yelling at their children to change their children's behavior. And it's showing that it's not making a difference.
Well, and one of the issues that you both address in this latest blog post, I'll call it, on our website, myfaithradio.com, is that the yelling at the kids is oftentimes a behavior aimed at teenagers. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm the parent of a teenage son. My wife and I are raising a teenage son. And there's times when seemingly speaking in a normal tone of voice or an inside voice, if you will, it just not getting through. John, you're already chuckling here. I think you've heard this before, haven't you?
Right. And I think basically if most of the time we're dealing with a normal tone of voice and then we raise our voice, it does have effect, just like you said, with a teenager or with younger kids. And I think basically what we're trying to talk about here, so much of the time in parenting today, tools are being taken out of the toolbox and parents are left with things that they think might help. And probably one of the biggest things that brings on yelling, screaming, this type of thing is the controversy over spanking. And parents don't think they can spank anymore, so they've got to find alternatives. And one of the things that we've found is they start screaming at their kids, and whether it be younger kids or older kids, and that's not the occasional raising your voice, but this is one of those things that becomes a habit and is used all the time. And they scream at kids because they don't think they have anything else in the toolbox that works. And then the kids just basically tune them out.
And, of course, we're talking about spanking when the child is young, not, you know, definitely not when they even have one toe into puberty. It was really interesting. There was a study done at Brown University, and it suggests that yelling at kids had more negative consequences than spanking. Because if there was a warm relationship with the parents and that was a consequence that was delivered, it was understood. However, if there was a warm relationship and there was yelling, it kind of negated the fact that there was a warm relationship.
That's very interesting. John and Kendra Smiley on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network as we talk about yelling between parents and children. I note in what you two have written here, you point out that yelling or raising one's voice is not necessarily a form of abuse. It can simply be a way to draw attention to a problem or a situation. Is that to say that there are times when it is appropriate for a parent to raise their voice to yell at a child?
Absolutely. The first one that comes to my mind is when the child starts to go out on the road. You definitely need to raise your voice. The key is, if I have been yelling all the time, it doesn't really resonate when I say, don't go out in the road, there's a car. And so it's important that we have a normal voice. But if I want to draw attention to something that's going on, absolutely. And there are some rules, too, with raising your voice. You know, are you yelling and making it a personal attack? That's never proper.
Right, and I think what happens usually in parenting is it's the frustration of the parent
right. That
brings on the screaming, the yelling, and yes, because the actions of the child, but the frustration of the parent is coming out. And so when parents get frustrated like that, and a lot of times when parents are yelling and screaming, they're out of control. And one of the things that we say, the parent should be in control. If the parent is out of control, lots of times the child is in control, and we don't want that. We want parents to be in control of the situation.
Right. Kids aren't qualified at that point in life.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. It also seems to me like there's some scriptural nugget of wisdom here, in as much as our motivation for yelling, like so many other kinds of activities that the scripture describes, the motivation of the heart really does matter here. You're saying that on the one hand, Kendra, if we're yelling because we need to express to our teenager, for example, hey, there's danger out here, take this seriously, that's why I'm raising my voice. That's perhaps a more healthy, more righteous motivation, so to speak. But if I'm yelling because I'm just exasperated and I'm out of control, John, that's not such a good thing. Is that kind of an appropriate way to understand this?
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And I think the other thing that happens, which I have actually witnessed in a parent doing with a child, then and that parent starts screaming, they're out of control. And what I witnessed was it goes from screaming, and then it moved into name calling. And so we just elevate this situation. And again, this parent that I witnessed was totally out of control, and they didn't know how to tone that down. And the next thing I knew and I heard was this parent calling their kids names. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness,
yeah. You
know, this thing has been elevated to the point of calling the child names instead of just raising the voice, because they knew that the screaming at the child wasn't having any effect on this child. And they thought, oh boy, you know, how can I raise this up another level? They raised it up another level and started calling the child names. And as you might expect, that didn't have any effect either. That had very much a negative effect on that child.
You know, you both note in your latest piece on this issue that as a form of behavior modification, yelling at our children is largely unsuccessful. It's perhaps appropriate, maybe even necessary, but it usually doesn't produce the desired outcome that we want. Comment on that, if you would, please.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and why are we yelling? I think John made a very good point. We're usually yelling because we're at the end of our rope. And why are people yelling maybe more than your parents yelled, my parents yelled a generation ago or two? Because people are trying to avoid spanking, because it's sort of been vilified, and abuse is definitely needs to be vilified. But if there's a consequence that's delivered because of love, and it is spanking, there really is, that's really more effective and less harmful to the child's psyche, as so says Brown University, than people screaming.
Right, and the behavior modification part of it, when we talked a little bit about before, if you occasionally raise your voice when a child is in danger, you definitely get their attention. And then they look back on that and they realize, huh, I know now why my mom and dad raised their voice, because there was danger there. And if as just a habit, a parent is continually raising their voice at the child, what the child does is they evaluate that and they say there's nothing there of danger, destruction, or defiance. And so then, just like anything else, as an adult, we do this and children do this, they just tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no change of behavior in that instance, because mom and dad are raising their voice. Oh, they do that all the time. They scream at me all the time. There's really nothing to change here. And it's almost like hearing a sound in the distance, and your ears adapt to that, and kids adapt to that screaming, and it doesn't do anything. They just say, well, that's just the way mom and dad are. And so we definitely, as parents, don't want to get into that mode of our kids just tuning us out.
Yeah. All right. Now, when we come back, I want to ask both of you about avoiding this condition where our kids are just tuning us out. The louder we get, the more they tune out. And for the parent who's listening to our conversation saying, okay, I don't like this feeling of being out of control. I don't like the way I react. I don't feel good about myself when I yell at my kids coming from that place of being out of control. But what's the alternative? They're not hearing when I speak in a normal tone of voice. I'm not getting through. What's the alternative? We'll get some steps from John and Kendra Smiley on what is the appropriate, more productive approach to these dilemmas when we continue. John and Kendra Smiley, international speakers who minister to parents all over the world. Their latest piece, I Can't Hear You When You're Yelling. Well, what's the alternative? We'll get to that coming up next. 7:45, you're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're with us. On the Faith Radio Network, I'm Austin Hill. John and Kendra Smiley are with us every week. They speak to parents literally all over the world. They are full of wisdom. Their very latest piece that we have published at myfaithradio.com entitled, I Can't Hear You When You're Yelling. Let's talk about the alternatives, John and Kendra Smiley. You've got us hooked. You've got, I'm sure, plenty of us convicted that, hey, when I do raise my voice at my child, it's oftentimes because I do feel out of control. I don't know any other alternative. There's got to be a better way. What is that better way? Where do we start with that?
I think the first thing is being aware that that's kind of the default mode. You know, you go to yelling, and if you say, aha, what I've been listening to, that's me. How did they know this? The first thing, you've taken the first step, okay? You've identified that this is something that happens. So then take a step back and try to think, what are the things that lead up to this? You know, are there any, does your blood pressure rise? You know, do you start to perspire? Whatever it may be, what's leading up to this meltdown? And when you realize that's it, then as soon as you start to feel that tendency to move in that direction, give yourself a timeout, right? Whatever it is, as long as there's no one in danger, you know, step back from the frustrating situation, whisper a prayer, ask the Lord to help, give you peace, help you be in control, and just that moment away can be a calming effect.
Right, and I think probably a little bit before that is mom and dad sitting down and working together on, like, boundaries. What are we as parents going to allow and not allow? I think a lot of times we get into the yelling thing because mom and dad haven't done that. Or if it's a single parent, just mom or dad. Okay, mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to allow. This is what I'm not going to allow. Why do we scream? Why do we want to change a behavior? And that is because if the child is doing something destructive or defiant or dangerous. And so if we can start looking at these things, and then I would make this point, that one of the ways that we can keep from screaming is the confidence we have as parents. Parents need confidence in their parenting. And if we are a confident parent, we can talk to that child. We can take a look at what we're doing and come up with the consequences for crossing over a boundary that we've set. Usually parents that scream don't have that much confidence. And like Kendra said right at the beginning, they get frustrated. And frustration comes from a lack of confidence. So we want to take a look at resources to get confidence, other people, the Bible, just the power the Lord can give us, that we have confidence as a parent to know the boundaries we are setting are good boundaries, and then we are upholding those boundaries with adequate consequences.
You know, on a real practical note, probably the thing that used to frustrate me more than anything was actually my own behavior, which was not allowing enough time for the boys to get ready for wherever we were going to go. When I realized that, I just made a real practical, not always pleasant in my own book, because sometimes I wanted to stay in bed myself a little longer, but I made a change. And that was, okay, I need to get up a little earlier because I'm not giving them enough time. So giving your kids just not, you know, not commanding them, you have to do it now, when they really haven't had enough time. Remember, these are kids we're talking about. So we want to keep the expectations realistic.
Right. And one other thing, especially if you're dealing with teenagers, older kids, mm-hmm. and that is sitting down, talking to them, having them buy in, and the realization of why you're setting the boundaries for them and what those boundaries are about. Now, they may not agree with them all the time, but at least you're looking at them together, and they know why you're doing that. And again, I think that keeps the frustration level of parenting down.
John and Kendra Smiley, they are full of wisdom. We're talking about parents who yell and yelling between parents and children. Real quick here, we had somebody call in and they wanted me to pose a question to both of you, and I'll augment the question just a little bit. The question was, do you believe that Jesus, were to have been the case that he was a father, a biological father with offspring, would Jesus spank his children? And I would add to that question, would Jesus yell at his children? How would each of you respond to that?
Well, I think Jesus would make sure that they knew what the boundaries were and that he would have adequate consequences for the boundaries. That would be my reply.
Right, and he would be in control, I believe. And I think we see this in the Bible, throughout the Bible, and there are very specific places that it talks about the parent being in control and not being in control. So whether Jesus spanked or whether Jesus didn't spank, I don't think that's the question. I think the question is, would Jesus be the perfect parent? Would he be in control? And I believe the answer to that is yes.
Is there ever, using the life of Jesus and the fact that he, you know, overturned the tables in the temple, we saw that tremendous expression of anger and outrage at the injustice of the temple being monopolized and commercialized, if you will. Is there ever an appropriate time and place where we express our anger to our kids, with or without raising our voice?
I think there definitely may be. The whole thing, why did Jesus do that? It was motivated by love. It was motivated by love and what was right. And so, yeah, there are times probably when it would be very appropriate.
Right, and I do believe that Jesus was totally in control when he did that. And that's a huge thing with parenting. Like Kendra said right from the beginning, most of the time it happens when parents are out of control. Parent is in control, making a good decision, like that child running out on the road, and definitely, definitely, it's a time to raise your voice.
All right. Now, I have to ask a question that I guess I don't want this to get in between you two, and I ask it kind of tongue-in-cheek. She's already laughing. All the content here seems to be posted on Kendra's website. John, are you sharing the burden of the heavy lifting of the posting and such?
No. I leave that to Kendra. I just Kendra and I talk about things, and then I don't even have a smartphone. I still have a flip phone. So Kendra's our techie, and she does all that good stuff.
Yeah, he flew multi-engine jets for 30 years, and he has a dumb phone. What I like to say is that we work together. John is the brains, and I'm the voice.
Well, we love you guys. We appreciate what you do. You can find this latest editorial that they've co-authored, at least I presume they have, on myfaithradio.com. And more information is at kendrasmiley.com, spelled just like it sounds. And we've got links to that. Thanks, you two. Appreciate that. We'll let you get back to the labor of the farm, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you.
All right.
Good to be with you both. John and Kendra Smiley. Great wisdom for parents who are frustrated with yelling in their household. All those in favor say aye. Yeah, I'm with you. 7:55. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Thank you for being here. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.